Welcome to the keynote stage. So my name is Mark Walsh. I'm the founder of this conference and part of the leadership team with Daniela and Manel. We have got quite a feast, quite a treat in store for you. The main stage doesn't have all the top names on. Some of them are spread out for various logistical reasons, but there are some awesome presenters on this stage. This stage is also sponsored by Alain Stefani. When we first had the idea of getting sponsors, I basically said, I won't take anyone as a sponsor unless I love what they do, because otherwise it doesn't have any integrity for me. I didn't know who Alain Stefani was, but I met her in Berlin. Someone said, oh, she's an intimacy teacher, she's an ex-sex worker, best-selling author in Germany. And I said, okay, well, I'll meet her. And I met her. And as soon as I met her, I felt at ease. I felt like, wow, this is a person who's playful, but also a deep listener. This is a woman who's a real leader. Since I've seen her work with people in very, you know, around trauma, around intimacy, around very difficult areas, men and women, I've come to regard her as a friend, actually. Like, I love her. So go to her website and check it out. It's Alain, I-L-A-N, Stefani, S-T-E-P-H-A-N for November, I. AlainStefani.com. There's an offer there called Love and Rage, which is as juicy as it sounds. You'll also find links in the descriptions for the videos below.
Okay, why don't we take a breath together? Let's start with the breath and the body before I ruin it with my nonsense. So all together, all around the world, 500 people, God knows how many more tuning in later, breathing in and breathing out all the bullshit. And breathing in all the good stuff from the conference. And breathing out all the nonsense. One last time, breathing in. And breathing out. So welcome. This session is on embodiment and facilitation. If you're a coach, it's a trainer, or a human being who has to lead and influence other human beings, this is for you. A couple of practicalities. I'm going to swear a lot, okay? I'm from an Irish family. If you have children near you, you might want to put headphones on. It's been a long week. This is Mark Walsh Unleashed. It's going to be super practical for you, and I intend to make it super fun for me, possibly you too. So there will be swearing. If that offends you, watch the news, okay? There are much worse things in life. This is not a place for if you believe in the concept of being offended, you're in the wrong place. I'm not gonna be the polite leader. This is me doing my thing, my way. If you like it, great. If not, well, there's plenty of other sessions on later. So a bit of a warning for you. I intend to have fun. Takeaways from this session. What is embodiment as it relates to facilitation? Some practical tips, some practical things you can take away. If you want to come on the screen, put your hand up, particularly if you know me, it's nice to see a few familiar faces. Adam Wild is here, get Adam on. Okay, so the other thing is I enjoy unmedicated ADHD. If I speak faster than you can handle, please put slow down in the chat, okay? I will forget, I do get excited when I teach. I love teaching. I'm not really a conference organizer. Don't tell anyone. Okay, I'm a third generation teacher. This is what I do. This is what I love. And I want to give you guys something useful today, something you can take away. And we're going to have some fun in the process. Okay, where to start? Let me tell you a bit about my story, not because it's necessarily interesting, but because it illustrates something of what embodiment is and why it matters in the world today. So I have a few slides for this. I know I'm good looking and it's hard to stop looking at me, but just for a little while, we're gonna do some slides. So.
I need screen sharing, please.
Host, we need screen sharing. Okay. Okay, I'm not gonna do some slides. Let's go to plan B. Yeah, okay, do it. All right, so basic stuff. Overview, this is what you're gonna get. A few tools, maybe some personal insight. Blah, 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 very boring. Where do I come from? So I grew up in the British equivalent of Alabama in a little village where everyone's cousins and there's lots of hard drugs. I did, however, have a family full of crazy people. My entire family are completely nuts. every mental health illness you could imagine. So I got very interested in psychology. I went to university to study that because everybody said books are what matter, Western education. Here's the thing. I'd read every book in the library at high school, at sixth form college, as we call it. And I was suicidally depressed, alcoholic, drug addicted, and miserable. And when I got to university, I went, hang on a minute, maybe the answer's not in more books. So because I was also dealing some drugs at the time, my lawyer says I can say that as a past thing, then I decided to do some martial arts. I thought that would be useful. I walked into an Aikido school, and what I realized was there was a whole kind of education that I just hadn't had in the Western world. And I saw Aikido and it was beautiful and it spoke to me and I thought, wow. And similarly, when I was working with children and we used to take them climbing and doing things in the woods like archery. And, you know, stress management as a theory is only so useful at the top of a climbing tower. Yeah, what matters is practice. I got interested in how work from Aikido could spread into other areas. I started working in war zones and areas of conflict. That's bullet holes in a school in Brazil. Me and my friend Meshu in Ethiopia with his submachine gun. And I did that for a while. It was pretty full on. Eventually I thought, you know what, I want to come home. Started doing this in the business world. That was me in my very first suit. I think this one fits a little bit better. And started doing this work in companies because I found actually corporations were pretty similar to war zones. So many people were feeling as if they were in a war zone. Actually, this last year has felt very familiar in that sense. I don't know how you guys have felt it this year, but for many people, there's been that stress, that confrontation with mortality. So I started several companies. I met my wife. I'm sorry to disappoint you, gay men, heterosexual women, so sorry to disappoint you. Met my wife while working in the war in Ukraine and have been continuing doing this work for the last 15 years. Most of my job is teaching embodied work in companies. I was in the House of Lords very briefly teaching just before my dad died, which impressed him, which is the point. That was great. Lots of other companies all over the world. You know, I've taught in like 50 cultures, so I'm a little bit obsessed with the body cross-culturally as well. So that's why I always ask people at the beginning, where are you from? Basic, but starting this, like Wikipedia hasn't solved the world's problems. Information alone isn't enough. Whether you're a leader, you know, whether you're a parent, whether you're trying to be a better coach, a better human, whatever. Imagine if someone said to you, I've read a lot of books on driving a car. I'm a great driver. You'd say, okay, well, that doesn't really make sense. Or if they said, I'm an amazing lover because I've looked at a lot of websites on that. You'd probably be slightly suspicious of that. So what matters is our embodiment. This isn't if we're skinny or tall or short or have a six pack or anything like that. You know, I deliberately put Gandhi and Churchill up as they have two very different embodiments, two very different bodies, but both great leaders in their own way. So it's how we are in our body, how we live in our body. The body is I, not it. This is the embodiment conference. I probably don't need to stress this too much. Simplest definition of embodiment, how we are. Okay, so it's not about having a six pack or being skinny. I'll come back to these models. So can you take the slides off for a minute? Okay, practical things. Let me give you something you can all use. Everyone feel their feet on the ground. Say, ah. Simple, simple, practical thing. Why would you use that? Where would it be? Where is a situation in your life where you might want to take a breath or feel your feet on the ground? Put in the chat, where's a situation in your life where that might be useful? Notice I didn't have to go do a funny yoga pose. Yeah, I didn't have to go meditate for an hour. Now, I love meditation, I love yoga, but in life, things are happening kind of quick. We don't really have time for that. So I really like to equip people with simple, practical tools. You know, I was just working in Moscow with a business guy there, and he's like, you couldn't teach him yoga. I love Aikido, but this guy's never going into an Aikido dojo. Yeah. So simple things like, hey, Igor, put your feet on the ground, take a breath, soften your jaw. Yeah. Relax your eyes so you can see the whole room. Try that if you want. Paul Linden stuff. Let your belly be soft. And how do you feel? I always say to my students, don't believe me. I could, you know, I'm just some weird hobbit looking guy. I could be full of shit. Don't believe me. Okay. Like, try it. Give it a go. See if it works. Okay. I'm just going to look at the chat and see what people are saying. Where do you need this? Useful in an argument. Yes. With your parents. God, who doesn't have parent issues? Okay. So before we dive in some more, let's do a little bit of self-care. We found that during these kind of events, and obviously there has been no events quite like this, but other events we've done a bit smaller, people tend to do a little bit much. I know a lot of the team are working really hard, and people watching tend to almost like watch too many sessions. It's like, because it's just, there's lots of great stuff on, and people can end up even by day three or four being almost a little bit burnt out. So I'm going to go quite full on into this session. I encourage you to participate. If you're doing the washing up or whatever, that's fine. But if you can participate, great. So let's just check in with ourselves. Is that what's needed right now? So we use self-care pose, which we use for embodied yoga. Give yourself a little hug. One hand on the body, one hand on the shoulder. Hard in this jacket. You can close your eyes if that feels okay for you. And just asking yourself, is this the best self-care for me right now? To be here with Mark Walsh in this session, or maybe I should go for a walk, eat a burger, go masturbate in a bath, I don't know, whatever. What's best for you? I don't know you. Just ask yourself, is this a good place to be? And if it's not, that's really okay if you leave. I won't mind. There will be rude jokes, okay? Offended from Berkeley. There will be silliness. There will be swearing. If it's not a good place for you, it's really okay to turn off the Zoom. Yeah? Maybe let's, if you're willing to go a little bit deeper, ask if there's some way maybe you're abusing yourself a little bit. Asking yourself that question in your first language, if you're willing. Is there some way maybe you're being a bit mean to yourself? Some way you're not treating yourself as well as you would treat a friend? If that's awkward, you can do it here. Okay, I'm not going to do a Gabor Mate on you and ask you about all your childhood trauma in front of 6,000 people. Okay. Whew, that was a bit fucking intense. However, if people do want to share in the chat, is there some small way you're being unkind to yourself? You've experienced a simple, what we call embodied yoga principles pose. There's a bunch of them we use in the coaching. It just helps people open up different sides of themselves. So in this case, it's self-care. And you get people who find that difficult. Maybe they haven't learned it. They haven't practiced it. So opening up a little bit can be helpful with a body pose or a different way of standing, a different way of breathing. Just going to look at your comments. Yeah, if self-love feels too much, go for self-care. If that's too much, self-friendliness. And the lowest bottom is the British one, which is self-politeness. Okay. So, don't be an asshole to yourself. That's the sort of lowest level. If self-love feels like a little bit too much of a stretch today, just lower the bar to, would I punch someone out in a pub in London if they said this to me? Yeah, that's the lower bar. Okay, good. Lots of people here. Welcome. Welcome. That's all embodiment is, by the way. Welcome. Say that to yourself if you're willing. Like, welcome. Welcome. You heard me say welcome home to the body? Welcome. Like, well, but no. You're doing it wrong, okay? Not like welcome in my head, but like really, like welcome. Like, yeah, like if someone came to your house and you liked them and you wanted to feed them and love them and you went, welcome. And if touching yourself feels too weird, just bring awareness to yourself. I've got clients a lot. I'm not fucking touching myself, that's weird. Yeah, I'm a bloke, I'm not touching another bloke. Yeah, but you can always do it just with a little bit of awareness. Welcome, that's all we're doing. By the way, you've now learned pretty much everything I have to teach. It's really only two things. You can go home now if you want. Go to the pub. Isn't it the weekend? Yeah. Two things, awareness and choice. So let's all do this now. Notice how, You people on Zoom, you think I can't see you. I have spies everywhere. I can see all 715 of you. Okay? So notice how you're sitting or standing or walking or handstanding if you're a yogi. Notice how you're doing that. Be aware of that. And do you want to keep sitting that way? Sometimes I find myself sitting like, or sitting like, and I go, hang on a minute, is this what I want? So make a choice. Awareness and choice. That's it. I don't know why people pay me money. It's really, really easy. Okay? Awareness and choice. Notice your breathing. Be aware of your breathing. Is it in your belly? Is it in your chest? Is it shallow? How is it? Is it smooth? And then make a choice. Do you want to be a bit more awake? I could try that breath. You want to be a bit more calm? Nice, soft belly breath down here. What do you want? Do you want to wake up? Or do you want to calm down? It's your breath, right? You can control this. You can control this. Notice your movement. So let's say we're walking. So pan out. I coach a lot of my clients walking. You don't have to do coaching in a chair. Walking along, normal clothes. I'm not wearing shoes today because it helps them relax. But other than that, pretty normal for most of my clients. How am I walking? Like the other day, I just found myself rushing. I was getting to the studio in London. I was rushing. I just put my head back on my hips, slowed it down a little bit, looked at my watch, said, yep, I got time. Felt my feet. Maybe I pushed with my back foot, gave myself a bit more confidence by lengthening my stride. Maybe I looked up instead of down. You do not need to be a yoga teacher to do that. Yes or no? Question. Different walking. Standing, right? Let's do another experiment if you're willing to stand up, people. Don't believe me, okay? You don't need a guru in your life. You don't want me as your guru. I'd have all the money in your bank account in about 10 minutes. Stand a little wider than you normally stand. You don't have to do a full sort of Wonder Woman power pose, but just take up a bit more space. Now, right now, I'm doing the conference. This is easy for me right now. I'm noticing how easy it feels. If you want to give it like more of an experiment, more of an expression, do, and then take it down into a more normal expression. Yeah, not he's just been on a course expression, but still wide, still taking up space. Notice if that feels familiar. For some of you, this is normal, right? My niece is like this. She's like, I'm Jessica. Yeah. Not every kid's like that. My wife's not like that. My wife's much more in. She's much more, try this one if you're willing. She's much more contained. She's not shy exactly. She just doesn't care much about you. Okay. She's just in her own world, quite contained, quite happy. So maybe try that one. Hands together, feet together. A bit more private. God, I'm longing for that. I'm noticing now with this big conference on, I'm really longing for it. Which feels familiar? Maybe put in the chat, which feels more familiar? Is it being seen, taking space, or being a little bit more private, a little bit more introverted? Let's see what people say. I can have the slides back. Now, just today, right? Because obviously it depends. It depends when, it depends how. We are embodied in context. If you look on the screen here, you'll see that we have a cultural context. Like I've noticed when I have a group of people, North Americans, or particularly United Statesians, take up more space than say people from Singapore or people from Canada even. Yeah, they literally speak more as well as physically taking more space. Also, we have a relationship, we have a context. Like right now I'm teaching. So because I'm teaching, it's very natural for me to take up space. Yeah. There's an environment. So I'm in a room. It's relatively low ceiling. It's like if I walked into St. Paul's Cathedral, it's like, it just expands you. So your physical environment is important. We do, however, have a character. We do have a personality. So when we talk about embodiment, unconscious embodiment is your character. Yeah. It's the part of you that's not exactly permanent, but is more, it's a habit. It's like if I threw something at you right now, you'd catch it with one hand, not the other. Yeah, it's a habit. So we have this unconscious embodiment. Also, there's intergenerational stuff. Like I have an Irish side, right? My family from Ireland, so I have part of me which is like, how's it going? Has anyone got any Irish in them? Does anyone want some Irish in them? You know, there's a different embodiment. Oh, that's very rude, Mark. My English side is a little bit more tight and particular. You know, there's a particular culture there, you know? And then we also just have a humanity. So we all have a fight flight response, for example. If you make a loud noise, people in Japan and Saudi Arabia and Brazil, they all go, oh, okay. Nobody, when you make a loud noise, goes, ah, okay. That would be strange. That's a human response. It doesn't matter what color you are, what gender you are. That's a human response. So we have shared humanity. So just for fun, play with this a little bit. How would you exaggerate your cultural embodiment? Now, to be clear, there are subcultures, right? Like London is different from the South, yeah? And parts of London are different and different ethnic groups and, you know, whatever. It's not about stereotypes. It's about exaggerating so you can notice if there's a cultural default. Manel, do you have any cultural default embodiments from Saudi Arabia, just to bring a different perspective in?
you caught me there by surprise. Yeah, I would say maybe that's didn't bring this in, but fire is something that it's culturally acceptable and okay. So that's something that we see a lot.
Fieriness, like a kind of fieriness there.
Rushing, yeah. That speedy kind of doing quick.
Okay, whereas some cultures maybe it's a little slower, there's a different rhythm to them, you know? And it's not to say everyone in Saudi Arabia is like that, but there's a trend is what I'm hearing. Okay, great. Let's go back to the screen. One more change. End of slides. Yeah, let's go back for the moment. Cool. How are you doing? Let me check in with you. One word in the chat. How are you? What's going on? I feel like I kind of want to get a sense of you. I want to taste you. How are you? Great and wild. I like that. So again, awareness and choice, just to recap, that's all we're teaching today. If you've got that written down, you've learned everything. Your notes are complete. You don't have to worry. You don't have to buy the package with the notes. Do buy the package with the notes. Your notes, basically, it's just awareness and choice. That's all we're doing today. How am I standing? How am I breathing? How am I sitting? How am I moving? And then saying, does that choice serve me? Not to say it's right or wrong or, you know, we're all fucked up, right? But we're fucked up in different ways. So it's like right now, do I want to be slow, calm, leader Mark? Or do I want to be a little bit more animated and have a little bit more fun? Because fuck it, this is the only chance I've got to cut. Daniela's not watching. Okay, I can cut loose a little bit. So I can make a choice about that. Who tends to be very contained? Let's try that embodiment. Who tends to sort of hold themselves together? Try that. I can see you. I can see you, all 722 of you. And then who tends to be more like this? So untuck my shirt for this one. Try that. Be messy. Fuck it. Don't care. Yeah, of course it depends where you are, right? But what's the pattern? What's the pattern? We're just looking for your default pattern. Of course it depends on the context. Yeah, it doesn't get you out of the question. Okay, so notice that. So this is all I do with coaching clients. I say, okay, let's try this and let's try that, which was familiar. Or I might show them. Like I had a client the other day who was like, why are my employees scared of me? What's the problem? None of them talk to me. What's the problem? They're all scared of me. I was like, oh, okay, let's call him John. John, do you mind if I show you your posture? Okay, so John, when you talk, you put your head forward and you tense your jaw and your stomach looks clenched. Okay, how do you feel, John, when I talk to you like that? Well, yeah, it's a bit aggressive. Okay, great. Now we're into a conversation. So we're bringing awareness to the client. You can do that with mindfulness by saying, crazy one, how do you feel? Yeah. However, embodied patterns, you can't feel. It's like the taste of your own mouth or... Yes, win. Comfortable underpants. I am wearing some. Okay. you can't feel it. So you need to either do a change or see something in someone else to get some feedback that way. So this awareness raising is the beginning. Shifting state is the second thing. So if all you can be is a hammer, everything's a nail, right? You're limited. So I help clients extend their range. Extend their range, not saying you're good or you're bad, but saying let's have awareness and let's build range so you have more choice. This model is very inoffensive and it's also not imposing. I'm not saying, you know what, Caroline, your problem is you wear too much blue. That's the issue here, Caroline. Okay, because who am I to say? I don't know her and her life and her context. And even if I did, it would be disempowering. Yeah. So this model of awareness, range and choice is a key thing. Choice of state, we need some tools, simple tools. Feel your feet. Let's recap. Feel your feet. You got that one? Give me a wave if you got that one. Okay, let's do another one. Visualization. Imagine you have fluffy angel wings. Not everyone's a visualizer, but it works for some. Now set them on fire. Bah! Okay, here's another one. Simple tool. Relax your belly, from Paul Lindham, one of my teachers. Super simple. Super simple. If you don't know how to relax your belly, tighten it. And then, no, don't do that. Let your jaw be soft. We call this the Russian smile in Moscow. Что? Иди сюда. Yeah. Soft jaw, soft eyes. It's a little bit rude what I said in Russian, like, come here. Saying, if you're in an environment where that would be weird and people would say, hippie, you've been at the embodiment conference, then just do it in your mind, okay? You can do it under your breath or even in your mind. We did self-care pose. This is a way to investigate, but it's also a way to practice. This could be your practice for 1 minute a day. Who here needs to practice self-care? Put me, Uncle Mark, in the chat, okay? Who needs to practice self-care? Me. Lots of people. Some Damien's putting his hand up. He might be saying, look at the camera though. I'm not sure. Okay. So here's what you could do if you need to practice self-care. You could beat yourself up every day saying you're a worthless piece of shit and that you can't practice self-care because you're a bad, bad person. Okay. Or you can just fucking practice it. Yeah. Practice the pose. And then from there, feel into it, develop the practice. I know it's not easy at first. I had to develop this. No one taught me this. No one was like, hey, working class Irish immigrant family boy, this is self-care. It's really important. No, it's something I had to learn. I went from bad to okay. And okay is what's helped me survive to this point in the embodiment conference. If it was bad, I'd be dead by now. We're just working too hard. Yeah. Good. I just had a massage, by the way, before this. That was my self-care. I booked in a massage. Self-care isn't always a massage, though, or a bubble bath. You know, there's this idea of sort of middle-class self-care. Sometimes self-care is telling people to fuck off, yeah? Firm boundaries. Would you like to learn this from Uncle Mark? Say yes or no. Who would like to learn this? Some of you are like, no, I do this too much. Okay, take a break for 5 minutes, people that do this too much. Let's do no. Find that in your body. Find that boundary. If that's difficult, find a wall. Push on it. Find that sense of being able to push someone away, being able to hold a boundary. You can do plank pose for this if you're a yogi. Solid foundation. If you're wobbling, you're doing it wrong. Now, you could do a whole martial art to develop this, right? To develop this embodiment, or we could just do a 1 minute practice. You see a lot of people who have been abused in martial arts because of this. They're trying to find that empowerment. Nothing wrong with that. This is just more efficient. Yeah. This is the pose. We call it no pose. Say no in your first language without smiling or collapsing or getting aggressive. If you get aggressive, how would you say no to a child you loved? Like if my niece said, one more story, Uncle Mark. I wouldn't be like, no, go away. I'd say no. And if you find yourself collapsing, what if your no was defending someone that you love? How would that be? Who needs to practice this one? Yeah. Right now, you could choose to take that as your practice, as a 1 minute embodiment practice for the rest of your life, for the next 3 months as an experiment. 1 minute a day, 5 days a week for the next 2 or 3 months. Or you could use that time on Facebook. I don't mind, either way. Yeah, or you could spend lots of money on expensive therapy. You could buy all the online courses and do none of them. Do you see the power of practice here? Why we need to practice? Okay, let's go back to the slides and I'll give your brain a break, a brain a bit of theory while we're working. How are we doing on time? Good. Okay, so we're always embodied in context. I've lost the blopper. There it is in my pocket. Here, a model of embodied intelligence. Every single session at the conference is developing skills in this model. Not all of them though. So we've been talking about embodied self-awareness today already, state and trait. So state is mindfulness. Mindfulness won't show you patterns. You can't really meditate on if you're extrovert or introvert, yeah? You can meditate on the feelings, on breath, for example. Embodied self-leadership, so that's changing our state. You wanna change your state right now? Here's a really simple way. Everyone make a noise, any noise you want. Blah! Letting the process of your body unfold. You don't have to have years of psychotherapy. Let's try that one, little shake. Little wriggle, good little reset, little jiggle up and down if you wouldn't mind. State changes, feel your feet, breathe differently, walk differently, stand differently. I've taught you about 5 things already, yeah? Then the other side is being aware of other people. So it's how do we empathize? State is the ability to be relaxed enough ourselves and have done enough trauma work ourselves that we can feel others, that we're not just a ball of tension. The problem when we're not embodied, when we're not feeling, is we become psychopaths. I mean, really, it's that simple. If you're not feeling, you're not able to empathize. If your body's, and that might not be your fault, but that is pretty serious state to be in. And we've all objectified people. Don't think of this as just something, you know, sort of nasty, evil people do. Like, who here has been on the subway and just thought, I wish these people would get out of my way? Or the other people, stop being people because you're in a hurry, because you're stressed. It's objectification. You've lost the sense of the embodied other. Or who here has ordered a coffee or lunch without acknowledging the humanity of the person across the counter? You don't have to ask them about their mother, but just acknowledging that they're there as a human being. It's like, can I get this coffee? Like they're a coffee delivery device. Yeah. If we could empathize, then we can practice embodied leadership. And we're always practicing embodied leadership. Take the slides off. We can't help but practice embodied leadership. Like right now, I'm either calming you down or waking you up based on the state of your nervous system and your reaction to my embodiment. So you'll notice this when you listen to different talks at the conference. Some of them afterwards, like I was in Sebastian Foucan's and it was like being plugged into a battery. I was like, yeah, afterwards. Others, they're like super yogic and relaxed and calm, you know? Like, I mean, we're always listening to bodies. Like everybody touch your knees, everyone, touch your knees. Who touched their elbows? Many people did, I'm sure. I saw some of you on the screen because we're listening to bodies the whole time, right? That's why my best friend can come up to me and put his arm around me and say, Mark, you're such an asshole. You're a total knobhead. You're just the biggest muppet. What's he really saying in his embodiment? He's saying, I love you. I miss you, Mark. I love you. I miss you. That's what he's really saying. Yeah. Yeah, and I can feel that in his body. That's why I don't get upset. That's why I don't get upset when he calls me names. I can feel the difference. So that's it in terms of embodied skill sets. That's about everything I have to teach. Obviously, if you want to see those diagrams again, you can look in my book, which you all have the free PDF of. Have you got the resources section and found that on the website? So there's a free PDF of my book, or where you could go on Amazon and buy it and leave me a review, whatever. But that's there. There's lots of other tools I use, like I use giving pose, you know, I work with clients and I'll say, actually, fuck it, let's do this one together. Let's do this one together, last one. Put your hand on your heart, and hand on your belly or your womb if you've got one. Heart, belly, womb, whatever feels good. And now extend out really generously, really big, extend out. And what do you want to give the world? we've said no, we've looked after ourselves, but what do you want to give? Like, I want to give the embodiment conference, right? I really would love you guys to enjoy this. What do you want to give? Put it in the chat if something comes up. If nothing comes up, no problem. Palms up, extend out. What do you want to give? I used to go to my grandmother's house and she used to bring food whether I wanted it or not. She was a feeder. Irish thing, I think. A few other cultures do it. Love, hugs. It could be something very specific, right? It could be, I want to build this company. It could be, you know what? I really want to have a child. It could be a quality. I want to bring compassion. You know? Cool. Questions. I'll take one or two questions. You can upvote each other's questions. Put them in the questions part rather than the chat because the chat's going a bit quick.
There's a question mark here.
Yes, no.
Funny. How to be in the world when you start feeling everyone suffering everywhere?
That is the problem of being a human, isn't it? There's a price to be paid for feeling and there's a reason people don't feel. The problem isn't sensitivity. So I'm sorry, but sensitive people, this is gonna be a blow to your massive egos, okay? The problem is your self-regulation shit. So when people say they're sensitive, sometimes that's an ego claim. It's basically saying I'm better than you. I'm more sensitive than you. Some people I do think are just wired that way. If I look at my niece and nephew, they're differently wired though, right? The key thing there is your self-regulation skill needs developing. So I was a sensitive little boy and I thought the answer might be alcoholism. That was my first attempt to self-regulate. Yeah. And that didn't work out too well. So I then realized that martial arts might be a better idea and yoga and meditation. Okay. And I'm still pretty sensitive. I still get a bit grumpy and upset about things and let things get to me. And my skin's a bit too thin sometimes for all the comments on the internet. But what I figured out was if I wanted to do things in the world, I had to not care about that. Because somebody's going to hate you. I once sent out an email that just said, I hope everyone's doing okay. It's a tough year this year with COVID. Hope everyone's doing well. Really benign, genuine email. And I got 3 pieces of hate mail for that. And actually, that really freed me up. And I thought, you know what? If whatever you do, someone's going to hate you, you have to learn to say, fuck it. Yeah. So that's a philosophy, but we also need tools. So maybe the tools are the centering practices like we did earlier. I have one called ABC, maybe we'll finish with in a bit. The no pose, the self-care pose, the resourcing, you know, being careful who you keep around you. If you're a sensitive person and you're, say, working in prisons or working in businesses where it's a tough environment, you better make sure you've got some nice fluffy friends to nurture you with, you know? Like I'm here in London with my friend Gina and she's just got like a brilliant, lovely mood. And my wife will be coming up soon as well. It's just like, just people with nice mood. And it's like, oh, that's soothing. So learn to self-regulate, learn boundaries, learn to tell people to fuck off and choose who you keep around you. So there's not one answer, but I hope that gives a little bit of insight there. That's a wonderful question. Thank you. Who was that from?
I can't pronounce the name.
Okay, thank you. Unpronounced name. Much appreciated.
So a lot of people wanted to
no worries. Yeah. If it's been upvoted, that's good. I'll do one more question.
Okay, so you said that baths and massages are middle class self-care. Why do you say that and how we can up self-care practices?
Okay. First of all, assume I'm joking all the time. Okay, so yes. Particularly if you're from North America, okay? Don't take what I say too seriously. I love a bath. I have a bath most nights with candles, a little bit of scented oil and bubble bath. That's how macho I really am, more or less every night, okay? However, I think we need to look at care in the context of societal trauma, cultural trauma, intergenerational trauma. I think we need to look at it in the context of boundaries. I mean, like imagine all your friends were mean to you all day long and you couldn't tell them to bugger off. And then you had a bath every night, right? You're looking at the wrong thing. The key thing is that your friends are assholes. The key thing is that you need to learn to tell them to bugger off, right? The key thing is not whether you had a bath or not. So I think we should reduce self-care to a kind of enabling, you know, yoga class or bubble bath, though I like yoga and easy. I also like yoga. Don't worry, don't get upset. Okay, and bubble baths. Okay, so in tonight, I will be having a bubble bath and I will think of all of you in the bubble bath. Good. One more question, Manal, one more question.
Okay, well, that's links to self-regulation. How is it different from self-care?
Yeah, good question. Cool. Next question.
Best state change practices while driving?
The ones that work for you, that's always the best, okay? So people say, what's the best? While driving, being aware of your feet on the pedals, that will make you drive more safely, not less safely. Relaxing your jaw, you can do that with your eyes open. Relaxing your belly, and please don't sue me if these don't work and you crash your car, okay? So make sure you crash it properly so you can't sue me if any of those don't work. So the key ones that I always say are things you can do with your eyes open without looking weird. Because, you know, in the middle of a yoga, in the middle of a board meeting, I can't suddenly pull a warrior two, okay? In the middle of a first date. But what I can do is practice my warrior two in yoga and then learn that embodiment so that I know how to extend, I know how to raise my spine, I know how to breathe a little differently. So our embodied practices teach us the subtle variations that we can do while we're driving, while we're walking, while we're talking to someone. Does that make sense? Yes, no, maybe. People on the screen nod or shake. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Manal, anything I should have taught and haven't? I've still got more, but want to make sure I'm not missing the obvious.
Well, there's a lot of questions about the, you know, the self-regulation. You already said you're going to do the ABC centering. So I think that's coming up and that will kind of complete everything.
Okay, I'll finish with ABC centering. So this stuff is relatively simple. It's awareness and choice. I teach it standing, walking, sitting, breathing. Simple things that all human beings do. You know, many of these you can do in a wheelchair, you can do from different cultures, whatever it is. Always looking at it in the sort of wider context of different inequalities and different things happening. It's not just an individual perspective here. A trauma-informed perspective is super useful. Do look up Paul Linden, for example, one of my teachers. We've got Pete Levine, Gabor Mate, of course, you saw. Yes, I'll volunteer. Compassionate inquiry. That sounds nice and easy. Yes, anyway, 6,000 people seeing me bear my childhood trauma later. So thank you for all the nice comments about that. I do appreciate it. So, self-regulation, why? Here's a question. Why is any of this important? Because it could look like sort of... like a game, or we get more yogic and we get more flexible and, you know, great, I'm more flexible, whatever. Who cares, right? Like, who cares if you're more flexible or, you know, like we've got a 7th degree Aikido black belt. And it's like, well, who cares if your wrist locks are really badass? You know, like, who cares if you're super great at tango or yoga or whatever? It's like, is it going into your life? That's the key thing, whatever embodied practice you do. And as a coach, you know, a lot of my clients aren't going to do tango or yoga or Aikido, so I need to give them practical things. If you can't use it at your father's funeral, it's not that great. So let me take a step back here. So the first embodiment conference was just after my dad's death. And he left me a little bit of money, not much, but, you know, we're quite a poor family, but he left me enough to start a conference, about £10,000, which would be... probably about half a day of Facebook ads these days, but it was enough to start the conference. And I was at his funeral and my sister came to me in tears. She said, I can't do the eulogy. She said, Mark, can you do the eulogy? And I said, sure, I can do the eulogy. I'm sad like you, but I can do the eulogy. And I helped my mother who was there. I was able to tell people that to park here, able to play with my niece because she didn't really get what was going on and just wanted to play. So I was able to sort of, you know, have enough range to go into play mode, to be kind to people. And then when I stood up, I thought, what would my dad want? I thought he'd want jokes. He'd want jokes in the church, disrespectful, awful Irish jokes. So first thing I did was I realized I was kind of grief stricken. I felt into that and I went, that is how I am, and really honored that that was how I was that day. The next thing I did is I did ABC centering, which I'll do with you guys now. And then I did the eulogy and I told the jokes. And of course I cried afterwards, but I was able to hold it together enough to honor him and to honor my sister and to do what I needed to do that day. So that's not nothing, is it? It's not nothing. I'm not saying I've got superpowers. I'm certainly not perfect. As a leader, I have a lot to learn. You know, I'm really imperfect as a leader and I fuck up all the time, as I'm sure the conference team will tell you. But I've got some skills. And to not have those skills is a big difference. If I couldn't be compassionate, if I couldn't play with my niece, if I couldn't make the jokes, yeah? So last skill I'll teach you today, super practical, then we'll do sort of resources and maybe another couple of questions, is ABC centering. This is one of the first things I teach my clients. Super simple, it's awareness, balanced, core relaxed. So awareness, feel your body, take your notes later, try it for now. Feel your body wherever you are, however you feel. Awareness, noticing the sounds all around you perhaps. Balancing your body, making your body a little bit more balanced. Obviously, if you do yoga or martial arts, you might know a bit. Anyone can balance their posture, whatever position you're in. Core relax, relax your eyes so you can see the whole room. You can do this with the eyes open so you don't have to look weird. Let the jaw be soft, the belly be soft. Breathe. And last C, core relaxation, then connection. Think of someone who makes you smile. That is ABC centering. I hope there's a place in your life where that can improve, whether it's arguments, business meetings, something stressful, traffic, whatever it is. A little bit of centering in the times we're in now, I think we all need it. So, we've got 5 minutes for questions before we wrap up. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, so everyone, you could take a look at the questions and vote for them, the ones you like. A
couple more questions for now, if there's some there.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. So how can you start to implement embodiment?
Can't hear you, Manal, for some reason.
Can hear me? Oh. Can you hear me now?
The monitor's also gone off.
Huh. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Can you nod if you can hear me? Okay, great. Minute of silence as a gift to everyone. Manal, any questions?
Okay, now it's good?
Yeah, now it's good.
Okay, so how can you implement embodiment techniques into your coaching practices? Very good question.
I mean, that's what we've been doing all day. Let me give you a real practical one. Do that centering before the start of a coaching session. So normally what happens in coaching is your client says, oh, sorry, I'm late, Mark. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, shut the fuck up. Okay. By the way, I love that they're going to have to translate this into Chinese and Hindi and everything. Say to your coaching client, take a breath, John. Put your feet on the ground. All right, relax your belly. Okay, John, tell me again, what do you want to get out of today's session? You just saved 10 minutes of bullshit. You just saved at least 10 minutes of John's time. Yeah. You got to a deeper, better coaching question just with that little bit of centering right at the beginning. Make sense? So that's a simple takeaway. Here's another. Let me run through in the next 5 minutes. Top coaching tools then. If your client's stuck in a way of being that isn't helpful and they're going round and round and round saying the same old shit you've heard a dozen times, get them up and walking. Walk with that client. Say, okay, John, it sounds like you're saying the same old thing. Let's go for a walk. Take a stroll. Okay, let's get the body moving. Have a little stretch. Okay, is there another way of looking at this, John? Make sense? Get them moving. Or just get them in a different embodiment. So it's like your client's, the problem is this, this, and this. And you say, okay, Sarah, that's nice, but let's try this with the feet a bit wider. Yeah, let's try this with your hands on your hips. Let's try this with a soft face. Okay, tell me again which of your employees is a complete idiot. Yeah? So just by changing their posture. You also, the biggest tool you have is yourself as a coach. So which would you rather be read? The back of a cornflake packet read by the Dalai Lama, or a beautiful Buddhist poem read by Donald Trump? Now, you have different politics. I don't want to make assumptions, but for many of us, it's going to be the first one. Why? Because the tone is the important thing. The embodiment is the important thing, right? So as a coach, you know, I could literally be saying blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. Yeah, there's a great, one of these presenters called Dave Rock from Ireland. He has a game called Potato. It'll get you saying potato in different ways to practice different expressions, different embodiments. So your main embodiment tool is your own being. So if your client's stressed, what's the most important thing you can do? Answers in the chat, prize for the first person to say, relax yourself. Most important thing, yeah? If your client's got no energy, you need to put that in a little bit yourself, right? And then we can work with these more specific postures. Like if the client's working on life purpose, I could work with this one. If the client's working with boundaries, I could work with this one. If they're working with self-love, we could work with this one. And they're three of the embodied yoga principles poses. There's another 23 out there, but I'm not gonna force feed you them all today, okay? So can be embodiment coaching can be super, super simple. Teaching centering, like I've just shown you, centering yourself, empathizing, feeling your own body. And as your coach says something, go, oh, okay, I notice when you say that, I sort of collapsed. Do you feel collapsed around this? Is that from you or from me? Being curious with them. Someone's got the cornflakes out. Thanks, Mark. So actually empathizing and staying tuned into your own body, like super, super simple, right? People are always looking for like the sexiest cool tool. And what they don't want to hear is, we have a course called the Embodied Facilitator course, quick plug. The first half of that course is looking at your own embodiment. Yeah, there's not room for all of you this year, don't worry. But there's one in Germany, one in Russia, one in New York, one in England. And the first half of that whole course, we don't teach you anything for coaching. It's all just about your own embodiment, learning your own patterns. Like, what kind of a coach are you? Like, what's your range? So for example, let me do the classic coaching question. What do you want to get from today's session? So you might say, what do you want to get from today's session? Or you might say, so what do you want to get from today's session? Or you might say, what do you want to get from today's session? We can do anything. Or you might say, oh, what do you want to get from today's session? That's four, I did four elements, by the way, four utterly different coaching styles. And I haven't done any tools or tricks. It's just my own body, my own embodiment. So you better know which is your default. So my default is I tend to be a little airy, fiery, a little aggressive and a little funny. So as a manager, as a leader, that's important for me to be aware of. And sometimes, for example, believe it or not, I've actually slowed myself down at least 20 times in the last hour. About 20 times I've caught myself and went, they don't run at your speed, Mark. I'm sure the translators are still going crazy. Yeah. Okay. So there's a few tools. Let's recap. We've got centering, shaking, standing, sitting, walking, breathing differently. Awareness and choice is our overall frame. Embodied intelligence model, which you can find for free in my book as the basic frame there. Working with your own embodiment as a coach, working with some of the EYP poses, if that's your bag. There's lots of great approaches to embodied coaching. I recommend Richard Strozzi Heckler, Wendy Palmer, Ginny Whitelaw. There's lots of other great speakers on this. And if you want to come and train with us, you're very welcome. We can fit a few of you in, but not everyone. And we've got online courses as well. So maybe Manal could share those.
I did. And I'm going to do it again towards the end.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mark. Okay. I'm going to come back to you and ask you about the number one tip for today. Everyone, this session is a keynote session. So it is live translated to six languages. And it's going to be free to watch for the next 48 hours. If you want to look at it again in a week or two to digest everything, you can get the channel package as a single track, or you can get the whole library and really have, I think it would take a year or two to go through all the sessions and really get them in. And, you know, by you buying the library, you can help us make this happen, and you help everyone else to get that access for free. And there's a lot of bunch of extra features that will
if you don't do it, Manal will kill a kitten. Okay, she's gonna kill a kitten live on air if you don't.
No
killings. No kittens. We love kittens. No kittens will be harmed.